So what agent is he actually on, and how's he tolerating it?
He is on enasidenib, and he just started it, and he is tolerating it fine. His counts are relatively low. What we're looking for, and what we look for all patients that we put on IDH and sometimes FLT3 inhibitors, is evidence of a clinical differentiation syndrome. Things like fever, infiltrates, shortness of breath, weight gain, things that we typically would see in the past when we gave retinoic acid to our APL patients. We're now seeing similar biological phenomena occurring with some of these other targeted therapies, particularly IDH1, IDH2 inhibitors, and FLT3 inhibitors. Enasidenib is the first drug to be approved for IDH2 mutant disease. There's a sister compound, ivosidenib, which is approved for the IDH1 mutant disease. Both of these agents have very similar response rates, about 40% in the relapsed refractory setting. Very well tolerated, except for differentiation syndrome. Differentiation syndrome, definitely something to keep in mind because some people do die from it. It's something that we would keep an eye on. Doesn't happen right away. Happens after about 2 to 4 weeks. Could happen up to, 2 months after it. This is something that we need to be continuing to see our patients for, and when they develop shortness of breath, fever, infiltrates, and weight gain, not to just treat them with antibiotics, but to think about this as a chemotherapy complication.
I want to hear a little bit more about differentiation syndrome. First, again, just sort of listening to people talk about reading about it, is there any difference between IDH1 and 2 clinically and IDH1 inhibitors and IDH2 inhibitors? It kind of seems almost exactly the same.
Yeah. I think that when you look at the data, they are different agents inhibiting different mutations and different isoforms of the IDH enzyme. However, the drugs are remarkably similar. They both have similar instances of differentiation syndrome and similar phenomenon. Is there a big difference between them? I think that clinically, there's not necessarily. I think IDH2 is slightly more common, the mutation, than IDH1. Interestingly enough, there's some interesting preclinical data now saying when somebody fails an IDH2 inhibitor, so somebody's on an inhibitor and they progress, there's some data now that leukemia cells, again, they're very wily, are able to switch their mutation. They can switch from being reliant on a mutant IDH2 to being reliant on a mutant IDH1 as a mechanism to avoid, to have recurrence. It's very interesting. Similarly to other kinases, you can develop mutations in these. I did recently see that isoform switching is a way that these cells can avoid the inhibitory effects of one drug versus another drug.
Wow, I've never heard that. Can you use the other drug in that situation?
I would think that you would, right? In fact, the company that developed these had initially a combination IDH1, IDH2 inhibitor that they didn't move forward into trials for acute leukemias. I think that the problem we have with IDH1, IDH2 is it's not very common. It's generally thought of not as a driver mutation, but as a founder mutation. We had talked about that. There are mutations that occur potentially in hematopoietic stem cells. It could be age-related or therapy-related. These mutations are called clonal hematopoietic mutations. As one ages, just as your stem cells are aging and they can acquire some of these baseline mutations, which are what we call founder mutations. What happens again over time or after exposure to certain things or just proliferation, you can develop secondary mutations, and those mutations could be what we call driver mutations, like FLT3 and RAS. Those driver mutations are what takes those aberrant clonal hematopoietic mutated cells into driving them into a leukemia. There are certain founder mutations like P53 that over a 10-year period can be associated with almost a 100% incidence of acute leukemias. I think these mutations are a series of very active investigation to figure out whether there's a possibility of targeting them early, late, and how best to deal with these mutations.
Well, that's really interesting.